The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the heavens. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. From the magnitude of the universe to the complexity of the human body on the subatomic level, it all testifies to our God. It all gives witness to the creative power and glory of God. It is all part of God revealing himself to us. Of God wanting us to know him so that we could draw close to him. It's all part of God wanting us to hear his message. It's part of the miracle of Christmas because it's the miracle of the message. God was so intent on you knowing the message that he has for you. He wouldn't rely only on the universe and nature. He wouldn't rely only on the pages of Scripture, but he himself would come and deliver the message. And he himself would be the message. Astounding that God would so desperately want to speak to us that from the beginning of time, he's wanted to reveal himself and to speak into our lives. Certainly, God speaks through history as he communicates through us through creation. How can one not look at creation and stand in awe of all that God has done? Look once again with me at Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And then verse 2. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. The psalmist says, how can you not wake up in the morning and see the testimony of God all around you? As the sun rises and the sun sets, as you gaze up at the stars in the universe, as you look around at the complexity of your body and the wonder of nature all working together harmoniously, they all testify. Day after day, it reveals that there is a mighty, creative God. But it goes even further than that. Does it not put things in perspective? When you think of the vastness of the universe and the creative power of God, and yet he's concerned about you. Look at Psalm 8 with me, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, he says, when I look at all of creation and of the universe, and then he asks this question, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Think about it for a moment. The God of the universe who's created the vastness of what we live in. But he's mindful of you? That he cares about me? That the God of all time hears me when I pray? He hears you when you cry out to him? Doesn't that put things in perspective? Is how much God cares about you and how special you are in his eyes? That's why he wants you to hear the message. That's why he wants to deliver the message. And he'll use all of creation to give that message to you. But creation doesn't tell the whole story. That's the problem. Creation can't tell the whole story. Creation can reveal that there is a God, or some might call a higher power. It can leave us in awe of the majesty, but it can't reveal the personal nature of God. And God doesn't want you to miss the message. God goes beyond creation. God takes the next step, and he sends his messengers. So now the message will be delivered through his messengers as he speaks to them and they are to speak to his people. And throughout history, God has been speaking through his people. To Moses, he spoke to in a fiery bush. To Elijah, it was the still, small voice. To the nation of Israel, as they were around his mountain, it was the smoke and the fire and the thunder as God spoke to them. God has spoken to his people through visions and dreams. He's spoken to his people through angels. He spoke through a flash of light when he approached Paul. He even spoke through a donkey because he wanted to get his message across. God wanted you to know him, and he wanted to draw you into him. So he sent his messengers. He sent his spirit to fill the hearts of those who wrote the scriptures so that they would be inspired and they would write his word so that you would know God and you'd know the nature of God, that he is a just God and a righteous God, but he is loving and compassionate and gracious. God wanting you to hear the message. But so often the message is missed. Throughout time, the message has been misconstrued. Throughout time, it's been misunderstood. At other times, the message has gone unheeded, or it simply hasn't been listened to. We can all go all the way back to creation. Adam and Eve didn't heed the word of God. The people of Israel at times didn't listen to the word of God. And what about us? How many times do we not listen to the word of God? How often have we not heeded the word of God? But God still wants his message to get through. The message is too important. He doesn't want you to miss it. So God decides to speak directly. No longer will he rely upon messengers. No longer will he rely upon nature or creation. But God will speak directly because God came to us. God would come and live among us No longer would there be any intermediary that he would speak through, but now God himself would speak. And he would speak in such a way that we could understand him. He would speak in such a way that we could relate to him, because God would become one of us. He would become a human being so that he would know things from our perspective. A powerful passage for me is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. He's calling Jesus the high priest, the greatest high priest. But he says, we don't have one that can't empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Jesus is the same. Every emotion that you have ever felt, Jesus has experienced it. Every stage of life that you've gone through, Jesus has gone through that. All that it means to be a human being, Jesus understands, except that he didn't sin. It means that he can communicate with us on our level. He sees things from our perspective so that the message can get through. But even beyond that, not only does Jesus deliver the message, Jesus is the message. Jesus didn't just come to deliver God's message to his people, but he himself is the message. In other words, if you want to know God and you want to experience God, look no further than Jesus, because he is God. This is what the writer of the Hebrews was trying to establish at the first part of his letter. He said this: the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things through his powerful word. He's establishing at the beginning, God has spoken through his people in various, many ways, even through the prophets, but now God himself has come. Jesus is God himself. The gospel writer John puts it more plainly. It says, the Word, capital W, so the message became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus doesn't come just to testify to grace and truth. He epitomizes, he embodies grace and truth. He is grace and truth. He is the messenger, and he is the message itself, because the message had to get through. God himself would come deliver it. God himself would be the message, because God wanted to speak to his people, because God wanted to transform his people. God speaks to transform. That means it is a message of power. It's not just words. It's just not ideas. It's not just teachings or thoughts or facts or figures. The Word has power. Listen to what St. Paul said as he wrote to the church at Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that is, the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he has done for mankind, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power of God that brings salvation. It's the power of God. It is the message that has power in it. The message that says that God wants you back. The message that says that all of us have sinned and fall short, and that there is a chasm that we cannot breach between us and God. So God came to us. God became one of us. And God was like us in every way, except he didn't sin. And yet he took on your sin, and he took on my sin. He was born only to die, to take our place, so that he would die so that we could live, so that sins would be wiped out. He came to transform your life, to change it in this world as you're released from the guilt, and to guarantee you the next life, the eternal life with him. It is a word of power. It's a message of power because it's a message of love. And perhaps that's the greatest miracle of all, that God would love us, that God would be mindful, that God would love you, and he'd love you enough that he would come and live for you. That's a miracle itself, that God would love us so, that he would go to such great lengths to deliver the message to us. That's the miracle of Christmas. Because all of creation cries out of God's love. All of Scripture testifies to God's love. And Jesus is the embodiment of God's love. It's the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of the message. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, you have been revealing yourself through all time, through the vastness of creation, through the wonder of nature, through the pages of Scripture, and now through your Son. May the message of your love and grace dwell deeply in our hearts. May it be the focus of this time of year and of every moment of our life. May we know the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of the message. Amen.